morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. It's my pleasure to welcome my good friend IQ Al Rasooli, who was calling in from Europe last week at this time. IQ and I discussed all of the misinformation that has been reported regarding the beheading of a British soldier by a Muslim who was jubilant about what he was doing, who walked up to those filming the event and talking about how the surahs and the Quran encouraged what he was doing and that what he was doing was in the cause of Allah. And my guess is that it's still a big issue in Europe, IQ, particularly with the Prime Minister of Great Britain lying to his people and saying that this killing had nothing to do with Islam. How are you, IQ? Well, let me push the on-air. Yeah, I'm sorry, IQ. I did not push the on-air button, but good morning, IQ.
Good morning to you, too. No, I was saying the news in Europe is really very, very bad. I mean, the demonstration, not demonstration, the burning of vehicles and buildings for 6 days and nights in Stockholm.
Yes.
And the news media in Sweden did not mention the word Muslim anywhere.
I mean, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, I'm really interested because that's a story that I began to follow about 2 weeks ago. Because it's about 2 weeks old. And the first story that I read, it talked about protesters and burning and rioting in Stockholm. And I read every article I could find, and there wasn't any mention of who was doing the rioting. And then I followed the story and more articles. And then finally, I found an article that said, oh, by the way, the ones who are protesting are immigrants from, and then it listed the countries. You know, Somalia, immigrants from Syria, immigrants from Afghanistan, immigrants from Iraq, and they're all Muslims that are doing the protesting.
That's the whole point.
I know.
Never mentioned the word Muslim.
Right. Yeah, it's like
Europe.
Yes.
The same thing in England. I mean, the Prime Minister of England and all these cohorts did not use the word Muslim.
Correct.
While the man who killed and butchered, actually not killed, he butchered.
Right.
He butchered the young soldier. As if he's butchering a lamb or a chicken.
Right. Right.
And he was shouting Allahu Akbar and reciting verses from the Quran in excellent Arabic, although he's not an Arabic speaker, but he's a Muslim. And they say, alleged Muslim. And then they say, no, this is not Islam. I mean, I can't get it anymore. I can't understand.
Yeah, it's way beyond being unable to make the connection. You know, you look
Absolutely.
At 9/11. You look at 9/11 in the United States, where 19 Muslims became suicide bombers and screaming "Allahu Akbar." They flew planes into our buildings, and all 19 of them left video memorials telling their family that they were doing this for Allah's cause and citing Quran verses prior to doing it. And it's one thing to say, you know, what I want to do is I want to completely disassociate that from Islam, and I'm going to blame this organization called Al-Qaeda and pretend like Al-Qaeda was not a fundamentalist Islamic organization. That's one thing. It's another thing entirely when a guy is shouting Allahu Akbar, citing Quran verses, butchering a guy, and then walks up to the camera and says, I'm doing this in the cause of Allah, and there are many verses in the Quran which order me to do this. And then deny it.
Yeah. It's not only many verses. You know as well as I do, there are hundreds upon hundreds of verses. Almost every other verse in the Quran incites the followers of Muhammad to butcher, to slay, to rape, to plunder unbelievers.
Well, that's only partially true.
Unbelievers are 80% of humanity, 5,500 million people.
You know, I'm going to put this in context. Yeah, I want to put that in context here a moment. If you look at the Meccan surahs, the Meccan surahs, while there is some violence in them, are not resolutely violent. It's the Medina surahs that are resolutely violent and that focus primarily on Allah's cause, jihad, being a violent crusade against non-Muslims. But the reason that your statement is still valid is because of the what's called the law of abrogation. And in the second surah, which was the first allegedly revealed in Medina, the brain trust of Islam, which is Muhammad, said that his God throws all verses that are contradictory into oblivion and replaces them with a new and better one. So if there are verses, and there aren't really any peaceful verses in the Meccan surahs, which came before, but if the verses are all calls to arms and violent in the Medina surahs, then the only thing that matters is the Medina surahs, which replace gibberish with go to war, fight, kill, maim, butcher. And so in terms of the applicable Quran verses based upon the law of abrogation, the Quran is essentially a call to war. It's a terrorist manifesto.
Absolutely. I mean, the tragedy of what's happening today is the manifesto of Islam. For 1,400 years has been declared public. What do they want to do? They want to Islamize the whole world. Humanity, right, which is not Muslim, which is 80% of humanity today, have got three choices under Islam. One, right, to convert to Islam whether we like it or not.
Right.
Two, to submit to Islam in humiliation and degradation forever under,
right,
Sharia. And,
right,
three, to be exterminated. And they're doing it.
Right.
And they're doing it, and we have our leaders, Obama and the others, denying these realities.
Yeah. Now, the argument against which you're saying is absolutely true. And that is the essence of Islam. That is, if you read the Quran, you read the Hadith, if you study Islam's creation under Muhammad, your summation of those three alternatives is precisely what it conveys. There's no argument there. But those who would oppose what you're saying would say, you know, it is still a great religion. It's had a positive influence on the world. How can you condemn the entire religion based upon the deeds of a few? And so what is your response to those who would say, you know, it's unfair to degradate the entire religion because, you know, it's offered so much wonderful things to the world?
I would ask whoever says that to name those wonderful things besides death and destruction. I would beg him or her to recite to us what those Muslims have produced to, you know, to the advantage of the world. I have a challenge to everyone.
Well, they cured polio, didn't they?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And wait a minute. They came up with the
zero also.
Oh yeah, and algebra, right?
Yes. What else can you think of? You know,
okay. By the way, they didn't cure polio. They haven't cured any disease. In fact, they're now the source of what appears to be the most deadly disease in the world, the coronavirus, coming from Saudi Arabia. They actually didn't come up with the number zero. It was the Indians that survived. Yeah, the Hindus. Yeah, Indians that survived the few that survived their slaughter came up both with the zero and with algebra. Not Muslims. You know, when you think about it, there isn't a single product made in the Islamic world which has found favor in the non-Islamic world. There isn't a single reputed Islamic university in the world that could compete with any of the non-Islamic universities. There isn't a single robust Islamic country in terms of economy other than the ones that are postage stamps, fiefdoms that make 100% of their money just on the black ooze that comes out of their sands. But there isn't a vibrant economy apart from that in any Islamic country. There's no Islamic country that offers any rights for women, that treats women in a decent manner. There's not a single Islamic country that provides fair treatment for minorities. There is not an Islamic country that is progressive in anything that we would hold dear and civil. So the question is there anything that Islam has given us other than death and destruction? Please add.
Well, I have a challenge to everybody listening to name only 10 followers of Muhammad among 2,000 million people. In the last 600 years, 10 people out of 2,000 million in the last 600 years who have contributed anything to the advancement and betterment of humanity. You know, it cannot be done.
And the sciences and the medicines.
I couldn't get five.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
out of 2,000 million.
Right. How is it?
I couldn't get five.
Yeah, the reason, of course, is because Islam is so caustic. And there are good people who happen to be bad Muslims. There's a lot of them. The world is filled with bad Muslims, bad Muslim being they haven't got a clue who Muhammad was. They're Muslim only because they were born that way. They're just trying to survive. There's a lot of bad Muslims out there that are pretty decent people. But there are no good Muslims who are decent people because Islam is so unbelievably caustic. The thing that is my primary response to the statement that the question I was asking you, IQ, half of it is what you just said, that if you look at Islam, it has just been a horrible blight on humanity. And all you have to do is look at the 50 Islamic countries today, and they're just a blight on the world. But there's a second part of that, too. And that's the part that you and I have spent so much time on in the past, which is that Islam is so stupid, so obviously false. How is it merciful? How is it kind to allow people to continue to be beguiled by something that is so obviously untrue, so obviously counterproductive? Don't we have an obligation to free people from the stupidity of Islam so that we are freeing our children from the terrorism that it inspires?
Yeah, but not only free ourselves, free the people who are the first victims of Islam are the followers of Muhammad.
Of course.
You know, we are doing them a favor. We are saving their soul. We are saving their lives.
Right. You know, Cameron, when the Prime Minister of Britain, when he was talking about this beheading that took place with the soldier in London, he said, you know, this has nothing to do with Islam. And he says, as proof of that, Muslims are the victims of terrorism at a much higher percentage than non-Muslims. What this idiot did not say is that the reason that Muslims are the primary victims of Islamic terrorism is because they live in proximity to more Islamic terrorists.
Absolutely. Look what's happening in Iraq, my country.
Yes.
Every single day for the last month, almost every single day, multiple explosions, cars, vehicles, mosques, every single day. Only today, 21 were murdered or blown to pieces. A few days ago, it was 81. A few days before that, it was 40. Every single day. This is peaceful Islam.
Okay, let's return to...
Muslims killing Muslims, not killing Jews and Christians and Buddhists.
We'll return to Islam in Iraq and the consequence of the U.S. evasion with IQ Al-Rasuli when we return after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yana. We're talking with the most articulate, most knowledgeable spokesperson, I think the most courageous spokesperson in the world, relative to understanding and being willing to convey the truth about the Islamic religion, IQ Al-Rasuli. He's the author of several books on Islam. Lifting the Veil is the name of the series of the books. You can buy them at Amazon.com. IQ, your native country is Iraq. I just pull up a today's fresh news article on Iraq. The headline reads, "The UN envoys to Iraq has warned that systematic violence is ready to explode at any moment." Now, I did a study. I spent better part of a year doing it, of tracking terrorist events around the world starting in 1960, and I think I went all the way through 2004. And what I found is that while Saddam Hussein wasn't the world's nicest dictator, I'm not sure there is such a thing as a nice dictator, that in the 5 years before the U.S. invasion of Iraq, there was an average of 2 terrorist attacks per year in Iraq, and the death toll from those attacks averaged 2 to 3 people. So in the 5 years prior to the U.S. invasion of Iraq under Saddam Hussein, that there were 2 terrorist attacks per year in Iraq, at least that's the number that was reported, with an average of 2 or 3 people being killed per attack. And after the U.S. invasion, there was an average of 10 to 20 terrorist attacks a day, with the average death toll being anywhere from 10 to 20 person per attack, and so many times that per day. And that level, we're about to reach that level again now. That suggests to me that our invasion of Iraq was counterproductive. What does it tell you?
It was. And the blunders of Obama and Hillary Clinton in North Africa with Egypt and Tunisia and Libya, and then now it's become Mauritania and Mali, is horrendous. The payback is going to come to America.
Yeah, it is. So we actually, we in terms of fighting the war on terrorism, if you can fight a war against attack it, America hugely exacerbated the problem of Islamic terrorism by invading Iraq. Isn't that the case?
It is.
And Iraq was a secular country in terms of, although the population was 90% Islamic, the government of Iraq under Saddam Hussein was secular prior to America's invasion. Was that correct?
100%.
Yeah, and
it was
100% secular. And at the time, the secular government of Iraq was opposed to the religious government in Iran. Correct.
Correct. And they went to war.
Yeah,
they
and after
war for 10 years.
Yeah, and after America's invasion of Iraq, the government of Iraq now is not only religious, but is controlled entirely by the mullahs in Tehran, in Iran. Is that correct?
Absolutely true.
So is there anything that America could have done that was more stupid than invading Iraq, disposing the secular dictator and giving the country to the Iranians?
Oh, yeah, more. I'll tell you what they did.
Are we doing something even stupider than that?
Yes, because
they
removed Mubarak of Egypt. He was secular and he controlled the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
They removed the secular government of Gaddafi, who controlled the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
So this is worse than Iraq. Iraq at peace, they said there was an excuse that Saddam Hussein was creating weapons of mass destruction. They had an excuse. But there is no excuse in Egypt.
Yeah, okay.
Excuse in Libya. There's no excuse in Syria. No.
I don't very often get to disagree with you, but I'm going to disagree with you on this one.
Yep.
Okay? All right. I'm going to disagree with you on this one. Do so nicely, because we're good friends. Is that I think that what we did in Iraq was actually worse than what we did in Libya and Egypt. And the reason I think it's worse is because I think Iran is the most dangerous country on earth, because they're on the cusp of having a nuclear weapon, and the country is zealously religious and Islamic, and therefore I think they will use their nuclear weapon, and I think that Iran-Iraq, the combined Iran-Iraq, is so devastating to the future of the world. I think that is where we're going to find the next world war is starting. So I think what we did by invading Iraq and giving Iraq to Iran was the single most suicidal and lethal thing that anyone could possibly have done. And so while invading Iraq based upon the lie of weapons of mass destruction, which was a complete lie, might have sounded like we had some justification, the consequence of invading Iraq is the single most grievous mistake that has ever been made by any country in the modern era. We'll return to Shattering This. I have IQ Al Rasooli actually speechless for a moment, but we'll return to Shattering This and IQ Al Rasooli's response to whether the invasion of Iraq was the dumbest move in the history of modern nationhood when we return to Shattering This in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering This. I'm your host. We're here with IQ Al Rasooli. The question that I posed to IQ, the area of difference, reminds me of a movie. For those of you who may have seen Master and Commander, The Far Side of the Sea, there's a famous scene in that movie where there's a couple of weevils, you know, the little the bug that are on a table, and Russell Crowe, who is the commander, is asking one of his officers, said, you know, if there's a contest between these two weevils, which one would you side with? And of course, it was a bigger one and a smaller one, and the officer, you know, picks the bigger one. He says, no, and the contest between the two weevils, you always pick the lesser of two evils. And it reminds me of this conversation that we're having now. Everything the United States and Europeans have done relative to Islam in Tunisia and Libya and Egypt and Pakistan and Afghanistan and in Iraq, as well as currently in Syria, has been counterproductive and stupid and even suicidal. But my question is there anything whose consequence is going to be more devastating to the world than giving Iraq to Iran. And that's where, for the first time ever, I've had a bit of silence from IQ Al-Rasuli. So, IQ, is there anything that we have ever done that is going to turn out to be as lethal in terms of millions of people being killed than the United States invading Iraq and giving it to Iran?
Yes, I'll tell you for two reasons.
Okay.
The mistake that America did was not the invasion. It was what Paul Bremer and the administration dismantled the Iraqi army. That was the biggest single mistake they could have done. Mm-hmm. After World War II, when the Nazis were conquered, the Nazi Wehrmacht was not completely obliterated. It continued to defend whatever was left of Germany. And MacArthur did the same thing with the Imperial Forces of Japan. They did not remove them. In one single action, America removed 400,000 men under arms. Mm-hmm. Had they paid these men $6 a week at the time, America would not have lost $1 trillion in the disaster that she, of the aftermath. I'm not saying the invasion itself was perfect. They won in no time. Minimal losses on both sides. Saddam Hussein was removed.
Yes, because
the actions were good.
It's because we never fought the Iraqi army. America never fought the Iraqi army.
No.
The Iraqi army stood down 100% of the battles that took place in the invasion of Iraq were against Islamic extremists. Not a single battle was waged against the Iraqi army. Not one.
But that's why they should not have removed the Iraqi army. Had they not removed the Iraqi army, today Iraq would be one entity and it would be secular. I'm not exaggerating. This is my country. This is my people. I know their mentality. I know
In other words, a military dictatorship in Iraq would have been vastly superior than giving Iraq to the Iranians, which is what we did.
Absolutely, infinitely. But the worst disaster is after Iraq, they haven't learned anything. They removed Mubarak.
Yes.
Now you have Muslim Brotherhood. Gaddafi, Muslim Brotherhood. The whole of North Africa, Muslim Brotherhood. They want to remove Assad. Why do they want to remove Assad?
He's a secular dictator. He is a secular dictator. Bad guy. Really horrible guy. But secular dictator and the people that are opposing him are vastly worse.
Correct. Look what's happening in Turkey. Turkey is part of NATO.
Right.
Turkey 10 years ago was secular.
Right, it's not now.
Turkey 10 years ago was a real friend of the United States of America.
Yep.
But Turkey today is Islamist.
Yes, correct.
Erdogan is now suppressing every single demonstration against his government.
That is correct.
By the way, the same thing is happening in Egypt.
Correct. Look at the new NGO law that's just been proposed. That NGO law bans anything that isn't pro-Islam from being conducted in Egypt. So Egypt has now become a totalitarian Islamic state, wholly governed by Sharia.
Correct. Which means it's an enemy of the West.
That is correct.
It means it's the enemy of every human being, by the way, every human being who is not a Muslim.
Right, and that NGO law is just today. I mean, this is today's news that Morsi pushed a law through the all-Islamic parliament that says that if it isn't pro-Islam, it cannot happen in his country. Now, also what you're saying, there's a Reuters published today's news that suicide attacks in Libya. And the fact that Libya now has become ground zero for Islamic terrorist attacks across all of northern and western Africa is that what they're saying here, this is Reuters, saying that because of what happened in Libya and the fact of the ouster of Gaddafi and the replacement of Gaddafi with fundamentalist Muslims, that now the primary breeding place for Islamic terrorism throughout Africa is Libya.
Correct. So when we were discussing Iraq, I agree with you. It was a mistake, but the mistake was not the invasion. The mistake was the dismemberment of 400,000 soldiers who overnight had no food to give to their children. They had no income. Stupid. How can they be so stupid? The stupid is because people don't learn from history.
Yeah, well, you see, the United States could not justify going in and invading a country that was in essence, a military dictatorship. And after their invasion, replacing a military dictatorship with a military dictatorship. So America is fixated on the notion that democracy is good. And democracy is not good. America is not even a democracy. Democracy is a bad thing. It's always been a bad thing. And in democracy, what you have is the majority tyrannizes the minority. And since the majority of Iraqis are Shia, they simply started to align themselves with Iran, which is a Shia Islamic country, and they began to tyrannize the Sunni, and now you have a religious civil war between Sunnis and Shias killing each other, and that civil war spilled over to Syria. So as a direct result of what we did, you've got a civil war in Iraq, and you have a civil war in Syria, and tens of thousands of people are dying as a direct result of what we did.
Correct. But why haven't they learned anything? How could they bring democracy to Islam when they know there are 57 Muslim majority states? Not one of them is a democracy, and not one of them has been a democracy since the beginning of time.
Yeah, there's a couple that that feign the democratic process. In fact, most of them have votes. But when they vote, the people are simply voting the way their imam tells them to vote. And so you get universal vote casting in accordance with what the imam is telling their parishioners. And so what they do 100% of the time is they vote for the most fundamentalist Islamic party, and they impose Sharia law, which is wholly and completely undemocratic. The Quran says there is no choice for the Muslim. And Islam is based upon the repudiation of all choice. The Quran says there is no choice for the Muslim because Allah has decided. And so this idea of choice is wholly and completely opposed to Islam.
We discussed that in predestination. Allah predestined humanity. This is the remarkable thing about this subject. If Allah is God, which, of course, you and I know Allah is not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. But how could Allah, if he is so munificent, beneficent, and merciful, create 80% of humanity as unbelievers in him to be slaughtered, murdered, raped, and plundered by 20% whom he created as believers in him? I want to know.
Yeah, well, it's impossible. But the basic... Even the name of the Islamic religion is the antithesis of democracy. Islam means submission. And submission is the opposite of free will. And so the religion itself is opposed to that. And so your point is valid. Why in the world are lying politicians telling us that their invasions and their intervention in the Islamic world is to bring democracy, is to bring choice, when unless you rid the people of Islam, that's impossible.
It is impossible. Look what they did in Hamas, in Gaza. They elected Hamas, which is a fundamentalist Muslim group, and all of a sudden, instantly they elected them. They suppressed every single type of confrontation with anybody who has got a different belief system.
Correct.
They, by the way, they finished off the Christians in Gaza.
Yes.
There are, I think, a handful of Christians in Gaza.
Yeah.
And they're finishing off the Christians in the West Bank, so-called the West Bank, the Palestinian territory.
Correct. They are. There used to be 20...
A few days ago, the so-called liberation movement against Assad massacred a complete village of Christians.
Correct.
Yeah, and nobody says anything.
Yeah, in Iraq, there was a very significant Christian population in your country. They're gone now.
In 2003, in Iraq, we had 1.25 million Christians, by the way, for those who are listening. Those Christians are the oldest continuously living Christian society in the world. Today,
yes,
as we speak, less than 200,000 remained.
So when you've gone from 1.3 million to 200,000, that is a genocide by any definition of genocide, correct?
Well, I don't have to add to it, but I mean, nobody is saying it.
Yes.
Nobody expected the word genocide.
So here is America. We invade Iraq. We displace a secular government in which 1.3 million Christians were allowed to live. And as a result of our invasion of that country and our enablement of that country's being now run by Muslims out of Iran, 1.3 million Iraqi Christians have been decimated to the point that there's less than 200,000 of them.
Absolutely. And the same thing is happening now as we speak.
That's genocide.
In Syria.
Yes. And so by the way, in Syria, 100% of the Christians, 100% sounds strong, but maybe it's 99% of the Christians, are in favor of the secular government of Assad, who is a horrible man, because they know that if the jihadists that America and Europe are equipping and arming and empowering take control of that country, there won't be any Christians left in Syria. They will be annihilated. And so what you're witnessing right now in Syria is, in fact, another genocide, isn't it?
Absolutely. And nobody is waking up. Not American public, not American government, not the UN, nobody.
No, and the same thing is true in Israel. When the West started to support the Muslims began to annihilate Christians, and the Christian population has fallen from over 20% to less than 2%. It's genocide all over again. Back to Shattering Myths. This is our last segment today. So, IQ, you brought something up here that is astonishing in the sense that it is pervasive and yet so few people know it. You brought up something that is horrifying, that there were 1.3 million Christians in Iraq prior to the U.S. invasion of that country, and now there are less than 200,000. That is genocide. You brought up the fact that whole Christian villages are now being murdered in Syria with American-supplied weapons. We know that when America started aiding and abetting the Muslims in Israel and giving them control over the West Bank and Gaza, that the Christian population declined from 20% to less than 2%. Genocide. So I have a question for you. How can Christians, who are the most zealously patriotic Americans, support their government when their government has aided and abetted the genocide of Christians for the last 20 years? Are they ignorant? Are they irrational? Or both?
They're stupid.
Yeah. It is
I don't call it ignorant. You see, I associate ignorance with people who cannot even write or have no access to information. When you can watch television and read the newspaper on 24-hour basis for the last 10, 11 years, and you see what's happening, and you read what's happening, and you are in denial. Not you, I mean whoever.
Yeah.
Then they must be stupid. Am I calling all Americans stupid? No. But most Americans are stupid. They elected a government for the second time.
Yes.
They elected Obama, who said before he became president that he would cut the deficit by 50%. When he moved in, it was $10 trillion. By the end of the fourth year, it was $16 trillion.
Yeah.
He said he will bring Americans together. America is more divided today than under any other government administration.
Yeah.
Politically, ethnically, racially, economically. Unbelievable.
Yeah. He also said if the winds change and blow in a different direction relative to Islam, that he'll stand with the Muslims.
Absolutely.
And he's done, and he's done that.
They elected him. So that's stupidity, with all due respect.
Yeah, stupidity. But here we are in a world, for example, in Egypt, where the United States supported Mubarak and then supported the Muslim Brotherhood's overthrow of Mubarak, that President Mohamed Morsi's NGO Act, here's what Human Rights Watch said of it. It's hostile to the very notion of an independent and civil society. Here's the head of Middle East and North African operations for Human Rights Watch said, this draft law dashes all hopes that independent groups, that means non-fundamentalist Islamic groups, can operate freely and independently after the revolution. Egypt's proposed NGO law would allow the government to rein in and cut off all funding and all activities that it finds non-Islamic.
Wait a minute. But America is going to pay, or the suggestion by Kerry, $4 billion to bring the economy of the Palestinians up. You cannot bring the economy of Islamic ones by throwing money at them.
Correct. You know, when we threw money at Yasser Arafat, for all of those years, all he did is skim it himself, put it in his own bank account.
And he had more than $3 billion when he died.
Correct. Yeah, about 80% of the money that was given by the West to these mythical people known as the Palestinians ended up in Yasser Arafat's bank account.
And yet nobody says anything. The Americans are quiet. The American public is silent.
Right. When America decided that it was going to spend billions of dollars on the Afghani economy that we broke, where did the money end up?
In Karzai's pocket.
That is correct. When the United States decided that it was going to spend billions of dollars fixing the Iraqi country that it broke, where did that money end up?
In the leadership's pocket.
Right. Yeah, and the leadership is Iranian.
Correct. The
United States is actually funding the development of the Iranian nuclear program. We're saying we have this big embargo on Iran, and yet through Iraq we're funding them.
Yeah, I don't know if our listeners can appreciate what I'm going to tell you now. Every single Muslim in America, every single Muslim in the West, can only be a traitor in waiting or a traitor in action. A terrorist in waiting or a terrorist in action. They cannot be otherwise. Look at the Boston guys. They were Americans.
Yes.
In one instant, they turned from terrorists in waiting to terrorists in action.
That's because Islam corrupted them. They didn't corrupt their religion. Their religion corrupted them.
God bless you, sir.
We'll be back with IQ Al-Rasuli in a week from today. Stay tuned, and we'll be back on Monday.